tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
What's up, Next Level? Even though we are separated physically, I'm so glad that we get to spend these next few moments connecting digitally. I mean, isn't it so great that we have these resources that right now we can hang out, that I can come right into your living room or wherever you find yourself, on your smartphone, your smart TV, on your iPad, on your computer, wherever you are. Here's what I believe about this moment, is I believe that this moment is a holy moment. Because it's a moment that is set apart. It's set apart for us to focus in on God. And as I thought about us gathering today, the thought that came to my mind is when Jesus taught us how to pray. And Jesus said this, he told us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What Jesus is doing in that prayer is he's having us to pray in ways that sync up our heart with the heart of the Father in heaven. And I believe that right now, out of all times in our history, is a perfect moment for us to pray that prayer, to say, "God, in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of all this craziness that's happening in the world, what do you want to bring down into the earth through us? How do you want to shape our attitudes? How do you want to shape our hearts?" And so if you want to say amen to that, now here's the thing. Normally when I'm preaching, I love it when people say amen and they're like, "Yeah, get it." Or I mean, I don't know that anybody's ever said "get it." That's not a real country, but that's okay. But here's what, in my heart, even though you maybe are saying amen, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. There's a little heart button. Let that be your amen. So if I say something and it's good, then you hit that button. If I say something that you don't like, then just don't do anything, okay? That's just how it's going to work. Let's make this an interactive experience. So I think it's pretty safe to say that our world and our lives have radically changed over the last few weeks. Let's think about this. Schools have shut down, and now parents are trying to work digitally and leading their kids to get schoolwork done, and it's kind of crazy. Most restaurants have moved to just having takeout or delivery. You've got businesses that have shut down, at least for the known future. And then there's even some businesses, sadly, that they've shut down totally, and they don't even have a plan to come back. What started kind of for us a world away, really wasn't in our mind, what started all the way in China has made its way to us. And I think the thing that has been so concerning, one of the things that's been so concerning about this, is just how contagious the coronavirus, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, and that it spread so far, so fast. But the thing that I want to talk about today, the thing that I want you and I to wrestle with, is the fact that it's not just the virus that is spreading and has been so contagious, but there are other things that have come along with it. And one of those is fear. Have you noticed how fear has just spread into people's hearts and minds? That anxiety, that hopelessness, that uncertainty, that all those things have come along with the moment that we find ourselves in. Now, I for one know that fear is something that can spread really quick. And I want to share a story with you. And this story actually involves camping. Now, if you were listening to Pastor Rob last week, you're going to know that he also talked about camping. But there's a big difference. Rob gave all the reasons why he hates camping, why he thinks it's like the worst vacation, why he thinks it's the worst vacation ever. But I could not feel more different than him. I absolutely love camping. I love the outdoors. I love everything about it. I mean, I like tent camping. I like backpacking. I like glamping. I've been camping in the back of a truck. It doesn't matter. I love it. I've got so many great memories. And so I want to see a little participation right now. And if you're wherever you are, if you're on Facebook, if you're on our online platform, in the comments, I want to know if you are on Team Rob. That's what we're going to call. If you don't like camping, you don't like the outdoors, use hashtag Team Rob. And if you love that, then you put hashtag Team Eric. I'm kind of wondering where our people fall. Now, here's the good news. Rob says this all the time. No matter what team you're on, we could disagree and still be friends. So even if you hate camping, you're not on my team, I still love you. So, all right, so what does camping have to do with fear? All right, so I was, it was the very first church where I was a youth pastor, and I took a group of students on a trip that camping was part of it. And we went from South Carolina to Kentucky, and we were staying at a place called Big Bone Lick State Park. Now, you're probably thinking that I made that up, but I didn't. I'm going to show you a picture. It's going to come up on your screen of where we actually took. This is a real place. And in case you didn't know, little fun fact, it is the birthplace of American vertebrate paleontology. Doesn't that just sound amazing and awesome? Well, anyway, so here's the thing. We had traveled. We had been driving a long time, and we show up, and we set up camp. And it wasn't quite time for us to start cooking dinner, so we decided that we were going to go on a little bit of a hike. Now, I need to give a few thoughts about this. Our plan was a short hike because we saw there was a trail that went around a lake. And it was supposed to be really easy, really quick, like less than 30 minutes. So we weren't in a big hurry. We were just kind of hanging out, taking our time, skipping rocks, joking around. I'm going to show you another picture. This is me holding a super tiny frog. Now, I know some of you are thinking, how old were you when you were a youth pastor? Were you like 12? I know I look 12, but I was 20, okay? But here's the thing. So we're messing around. We're just taking our time. We're not in a big rush. Plenty of light. And we start walking around this trail. Well, somewhere along the way, we went on a wrong turn. I got a little bit distracted, and instead of going on the loop that goes around the lake, we took another one that was a multi-mile trail. Now, that would not have been a problem if we had expected it. And it wouldn't have been a problem except for all of a sudden it starts getting darker. And we're walking and we're walking and we're walking. And this is the days before everybody had smartphones and nobody was pulling out like a map to look at where we were. All I had was a flip phone. It didn't even have a flashlight on it. Okay, so here we are. It's starting to get dark. And we're out here with no map, going the wrong way, on the wrong trail. And we really don't know how much further we're going to walk. And so the kids, all of a sudden, fear started coming up. I heard some of the kids, one of them said, "Hey, well, what are we going to do?" And then somebody else said, are we lost? And then somebody else said, "What if we have to sleep out here in the dark? What if something eats us? And what about snakes and spiders?" And then someone said, "I want my mom." Like, for real. And then it happened. All of a sudden, I heard someone crying. In the back, someone was crying. And in that moment, I saw it happening. Fear was spreading amongst everybody. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I was a little bit nervous myself. I felt a little bit of fear because here I am responsible for this group of teenagers. We have barely been here any time, and I've already got us lost in the woods, and I'm not even really sure what to tell them. But here's what I knew. I knew that if in that moment that I didn't step into the situation, that fear would just continue to spread, and our situation would go from bad to worse. And so I gathered everybody up, and I said, "Hey, guys," I said, I'm not exactly sure where we are right now, but here's what I know. We're just going to stop and ask God for his help. That's what we're going to do. And so we stopped right there in that moment and we prayed. Now, it did not erase every bit of fear, but what it did is it stopped the spread of fear in that moment. Instead, something else started spreading. It was hope. Now, here's the good news. I'm here today because we made it out of the woods. Nobody was bitten by a snake. Nobody had to sleep in the woods. And when we actually made it out of that trail, I had some students that literally kissed the ground, like kissed the dirt, put their lips on the ground, and they were like, thank you, Jesus, because we had made it out. Now, here's the thing I want you to see. While fear is highly contagious and can spread so quickly, so can faith. While fear can spread so quickly, so can faith. And I believe that at this time in history, the world really needs some people who will be about not spreading fear, but spreading faith. And that's going to bring us to today's big idea. I encourage you that to take some notes. Maybe you're writing them down. Maybe you're using your computer in some way, because it will help you to remember. And I want you to write this big idea down. Everyone is spreading something. Everyone's contagious. Is what you're spreading worth sharing? Everyone is spreading something. Is what you're spreading worth sharing? Is what you're contagious with, is it worth giving to other people? That's the question I want you to wrestle with. And that flows out of this verse, out of 1 Thessalonians 1:8. And I'd love for us to read this scripture together and participate with me. I'm going to have you to repeat some words back at me. And even though I can't hear you, I believe that you're going to participate because you want to get the most out of this word today. And so, you know, sometimes we only get what we put in. I'm going to do my best to give you everything I've got. And I hope that you will give your best to God by listening and saying, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to apply this. So let's look at this scripture together. It says, the Lord's message, let's say the next two words, rang out. It's the word echo. From you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your, next three words, faith in God has become known where? Everywhere. Isn't that amazing? That, and we're going to jump into the backstory of this, but this group of believers in Thessalonica, they became known for spreading faith, spreading good news. And with that thought, would you just join me in prayer as we ask God to help us to be people that are reflective of this same type of heart attitude? Let's pray together. Father, in these next moments that we share together, we ask for you to guide us. We ask for you to speak to us. And in a world that is filled with fear and hopelessness and uncertainty and anxiety, let us be the people that are speaking hope and faith and life. God, not because we don't have any uncertainty or any fear, but ultimately we have our faith set in the rock solid foundation of you. God, I pray for the person that's watching right now that maybe they have never exercised that faith. I pray that they would for the first time today. For those that maybe have been tempted to give into fear, that instead of giving into fear, that they will lean into faith and they will be influencers, contagious with faith. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Hit the heart right now. Is what you're spreading worth sharing? Well, the answer in regard to this church, this group of believers in Thessalonica, is a resounding yes. They have become known for sharing good news, sharing faith, sharing love, sharing hope. And it's my hope that we'll be inspired by their example. But to help us to really understand this, I want us to jump back into a little bit of the background of this story. So, because the Church of Thessalonica, the situation that they were facing is very relevant to where we find ourselves today. So, we find out about the founding of this church in the book of Acts, and it happens in Acts chapter 17. There's a guy named Paul. Paul used to be a persecutor of the church, but he had come to faith in Jesus Christ, and now he was a missionary. A missionary was just simply someone that went around telling people the good news, that they viewed that as their mission, their purpose. So Paul was going around telling people about Jesus and starting churches everywhere. And he had been led by the Holy Spirit to come into this area in Thessalonica. And now Thessalonica is a large city. It was the largest city in Macedonia. And it was a port city, and it also had a major Roman road that went through it. So this was a very strategic location, and it was a large enough city to have a Jewish synagogue. You had to have a certain amount of Jews in order to form a synagogue. And so Paul, as his practice, goes into this city to the synagogue, and it says for 3 Sabbath days, and that means he was there for about at least 3 weeks, he was proclaiming the good news of Jesus. He was giving proofs that Jesus had truly risen from the dead, that Jesus was the Messiah and Savior. And there were Jews and Gentiles and these prominent women within the city that said yes to Jesus, and they started following him. But at about the same time, there was a group of people that did not like Paul's message, did not like what Paul was preaching, and so they actually started a riot, and Paul and Silas had to flee out of the city. And as they, now their practice, that wasn't their plan. They had actually planned to be there with these new believers and to encourage them in their faith. And so Paul begins to be concerned about this church. He wonders, hey, what's happened to them? And Paul kept trying to go back, but he just wasn't able to do it. And eventually he sent his protege, Timothy. And Timothy goes and he meets with this church. And then he comes back and he gives this incredible report to Paul. And he tells Paul about how their faith has been growing. And so that brings us to this letter that Paul, now that he's got this word back from Timothy, he's writing to these people. And he's telling them about how ecstatic he is to hear about their faith. And this is what he says. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1, starting in verse 2. He says, "We always thank God for all of you, and we continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." They had faith, they had hope, they had love. It's amazing. That's what they were spreading. That's what they were known for. And he continues on, verse 4. "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel, our good news, it came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and deep conviction." That means that the word that they heard, they actually held on to it. It didn't just go in one ear and out the other. It actually led to life change. It says, "You know how we lived amongst you for your sake. You became imitators of us and the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering." See, that persecution, it continued on for the people. And it says, "With joy given by the Holy Spirit, and you have become," notice the next phrase, "a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." They became a model for all the believers. Even though this church was young, even though this wasn't the largest church, they became a model for other believers. Wouldn't that be an incredible thing to be said about Next Level Church? Wouldn't that be an incredible thing to be said about any of you that are watching and you name the name of Jesus, that you, no matter how long you follow Jesus, you became a model of faith, of someone that is known for spreading faith and love and hope? That's my prayer for us today. And now let's get, and now we're back to our key verse for today. 1 Thessalonians 1:8, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere." So I want you to think back to the big idea today, that everybody is spreading something. Everybody is sharing something, but is what you're spreading worth sharing? Are you and I like the Thessalonians? Are we serving as a godly model? Could other people look at us and say, yes, I want to be like them. In the midst of this turmoil, I want to be like them. Because here's the truth. There are a lot of people that are spreading fear right now, but there's not nearly enough people that are spreading faith. And I wonder if we could be some of the people that choose to spread faith in these days. I believe Jesus is calling us to rise up, that he's saying this is our moment in the midst of uncertain times to be spreaders of faith, spreaders of good news, spreaders of hope, spreaders of love. So in our next moments, I want to explain a little bit more of what I mean by spreading faith and spreading love and spreading hope, but particularly faith. Let me answer by correcting what I think is a misunderstanding when it comes to faith. The faith that we're talking about is not a faith that's based on getting certain outcomes. The faith we're talking about is not based on getting certain outcomes. Now, let me give you some examples of what I mean. Sometimes people may say, I have faith that I won't get the coronavirus. I have faith that I won't lose my job. I have faith that this is going to be over next week. I have faith that my bank account's not going to drop. But can I tell you, there's a problem with all of those. Because that's putting your faith in circumstances, and it's putting faith in things that God hasn't promised to us. The problem with ideas like these is they all misplace faith. The reality is this: you may get the coronavirus. I hope you don't. I hope that nobody in your family gets it. But the truth is that you might. And if your faith is, I'm not going to get it, and all of a sudden you get it, then you start to blame God. And God's like, I didn't promise that to you. And the truth is you may lose your job. I pray that you don't, but it could happen. This may last longer than you're expecting and I'm expecting. It seems like that timeline keeps getting pushed out over and over. But here's the truth. Our faith is not in outcomes. Our faith is in the God who promises to be with us through each and every circumstance. Now, let me say that again. Our faith is not in outcomes. Our faith is in the God who promises to be with us and to see us through every circumstance. Our faith is not in particular results. Our faith is in the God who will stick with us and be with us no matter what comes our way. See, the true object of our faith has to be on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus. And that's the kind of faith that the Thessalonians were spreading. They weren't giving people false hope, false faith. They were saying, our faith is in Jesus. Yes, we're being persecuted right now. No, we don't like it, but we trust in God. Can I tell you, the faith that's worth spreading is the faith that is based and grounded in God's promises to us. Promises like this in Romans 8:28. Look at this. It's going to come up on your screen for you. It says, and we know. Those words, we know, that is faith. We know. We have a rock solid confidence. We have a faith based on the promises of God. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Those who have been called according to his purpose. That's where we put our faith in. The faith in a God who says, no matter what comes your way, I can bring good out of it. Now notice something. This verse doesn't say that everything that comes in your life and my life is good. Let's say you're in one of those circumstances and you get sick or you lose your job or something happens that really messes up things in your life. Are those good things? They're not. And this verse doesn't say they're good things, but it does say this, that no matter what comes your way, God can bring good even out of what has been bad. God can bring a masterpiece even out of the mess. Would it be good for you to lose your job? No. Would it be good to get the coronavirus? No. But God says that he can work good in any and every circumstance. Or what about this one? What about putting our faith in the God who makes this kind of promise to us? In Philippians 4, 12 through 13, it says this, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty, but I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's put it like this. I know what it's like to have plenty of toilet paper. And I know what it's like to be unable to find toilet paper anywhere. But in any of those circumstances, I can get through it because of him. Now, that was a little bit of you're supposed to laugh. I hope you're laughing right now. But here's the truth. What this promise tells us is not that we're not going to go through hard times. Paul is saying right here, I know what it's like not to have a lot. I know what it's like to struggle. And I know what it's like to have abundance. I know what it's like to be well-fed and hungry. I know what it's like to be well and to be sick. I know what it's like to have a job and be jobless. I know what it's like to know what the future holds and then sometimes not know. But our faith is through him, through Jesus. You see, the faith that the Thessalonians are spreading, the faith that I believe God is calling you and I to, is the faith that points to Jesus as the hero. Jesus as the answer. Jesus as the rock. Jesus as the solution. Jesus as the anchor of our soul. That's where our faith is. That we say, no, everything happening around me is not good, but I believe in the God who is good and that he's working for my good. My faith is in him. And that's what the Thessalonians did. They hung on to that kind of faith, and it was sustaining them in the midst of suffering and persecution. Follower of Jesus, as you're listening to this today, isn't that what he's calling us to? I'm not saying you're not going to have any fears, that there's not going to be, the uncertainty is going to be wiped away. I'm not saying that. But what's the dominant thing that you're spreading? Take a look at your Facebook feed, your Instagram. Think about your conversations. And if people are listening in on what you're saying and they caught what you were spreading, is that really worth sharing? So maybe somebody today needs to exchange that fear for faith. Need to say, God, maybe I need to start sharing something a little bit different. In our last few minutes, I just want to give you some practical means, some practical application to this. The reality is that this virus can't be spread when we are physically distant. I mean, that you've heard everybody talk about flattening the curve. So if we are physically distanced from each other, it stops. But even if we are physically distant, the good news can continue to spread. That's why this is even greater. The good news is greater. Even though, like right now, we are able to spread good news through digital means. Praise God for that. So I wonder, Jesus told us to let our light shine in the world so that people could see our good deeds and they would give glory to our Father in heaven. And he knew a moment like this in history would come where we would have to maybe be confined to our homes, not be able to be out. Do you think that he said, well, you know what, my light can't shine anymore? No, this is our moment. The light can still shine. It is not confined to your home. It doesn't mean that faith has to stop spreading and the light has to stop shining. No, we need to let the light of faith shine in our homes. We need to let it shine on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and whatever platform that you use. Let it shine in how you email, in your phone calls, in everything that you do. What if we saw ourselves as digital missionaries of faith? Digital missionaries of hope and love. What if we saw this as our moment to be people that spread hope? Maybe you're the person in your family that you can relate to my story of when I was lost in the woods and everybody was looking to me to say what next. And maybe you're the person in your family that everybody's looking to. And maybe you do have a little bit of fear. That's okay. But don't let this fear win out. What would happen if you just started leading your family in faith and you said, no, we're going to get through this no matter what because our God is with us. And so that brings us to today's win. The win is how do we apply what we're learning? Here's the win. Choose to spread faith over fear. Spread faith over fear. Now, before we go, In the last few seconds, I do want to say something. Maybe you're watching for the very first time, and you have never exercised faith in your life, but there's something that has been attractive about what we've been talking about, of having faith in Jesus, of that confidence. And here's what I want to say to you, is that maybe today is the day that Jesus is calling you to step out in faith, to see Him as the Savior, to see Him as the Lord, to see Him as the anchor of your soul. And if you would like to receive Christ, then right now you can request live prayer, and someone would be willing to pray with you to give you a little bit more information about how to do that. If you're watching on Facebook, just send us a message. We would love to walk through about how you can accept Christ and follow after Him. But here's how I'd like to finish out our moment. Could we just bow our heads in prayer? Father, we love You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You that we can walk in rock-solid confidence and faith in You. And I pray that every person that has heard this message, that we will apply it and live it out, that we will be known as those that are spreading faith over fear. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We'll see you next week.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.